Hello and welcome to the original, the only podcast of its kind for the Quantum Grammar Shoot, a podcast that talks about the grammar technology known as correct sentence structure, communication, parsing, syntax, grammar, i.e. quantum grammar, and how it relates to everyday life and current events. And I am your host, Colin Jason Knife and Matthew Colin Glass. This is a podcast of opinion, where I share my thoughts on a psychological level of how one would use this technology navigating through everyday now space and other related subjects. Hope you enjoy. I'd like to reiterate that I'm fond of saying ad nauseum that 90% of learning quantum grammar is psychological. That you can learn the grammar, although that's apparently it's very difficult for many people because of the psychological factor of it. One can learn the grammar mechanics, but it appears as though if the psychological hurdles are not overcome, then the grammar is never quite clear, doesn't have a base to root to, so to speak. Like there's nothing holding it in the foundation of one's psyche. It's very spongy if the psychological aspect is not reached and overcome, surpassed. Whatever word you want to use. You get past that psychological hurdle, then the grammar falls into place, click, and it's easy as pie. So I'm going to address something that has to do with this in a roundabout way, in that many of my podcasts and many of my videos on both of my channels have to do with psychology. And I talk about that a lot. And so I'd like to ask you, do you know what social factors are? According to Google, social factors represent another important set of influences on consumer behavior. Specifically, these are the effects of people and groups influencing one another through culture and subculture, social class, reference groups, and family. These factors are things that affect someone's lifestyle. These could include wealth, religion, buying habits, education level, family size, and structure and population density. According to Google, there are also 6 specific social factors. And I'm going to try and see what those are. Okay. Upstream, what they call upstream social factors, laws, policies, and underlying values that shape the following. Income and wealth, education, employment, household composition, experiences based on race or ethnic group, social mobility, stressful experiences related to any of the above, income inequality. And then we have midstream social factors, factors that are strongly influenced by upstream factors and that are likely to affect health. Housing, transportation, other conditions in homes, schools, workplaces, neighborhoods, and communities, including conditions that produce stress and family disruption, parenting skills, parenting stress, leisure time, quality of schooling, physical and psychosocial working conditions. And I think that's as far as I need to go into that, because they don't address a glaring issue, which maybe this was written before the current social medical situation came to prominence, is that people are greatly affected by being forced to do something that is uncomfortable and that they don't want to do and they don't quite understand why they're doing it. or if they think they understand, but they don't know for sure, because it doesn't make any freaking sense. And some people like to tell themselves, you know, we're just doing it for the good of everybody. I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing it for you. And, you know, it's all kinds of excuses as to why they're doing this, that, or the third. These things that don't make any sense. That's a huge social factor. The reason I'm bringing this up in this podcast is because I received an email from... what can I say it is? It's from an organization, a medical organization. I guess, you know, like how McDonald's has chains of restaurants. Well, this company has a chain of hospitals or urgent cares or whatever you want to call them. It's kind of like that. They sent me an email apropos of nothing. Beginning with, "Dear Jason," which is funny in and of itself, but I'm not going to read the email itself because they do put a confidentiality clause on it, which, I mean, I'm just going to honor that. So I'm going to paraphrase. They're reaching out to me to invite me to take part in a couple surveys that their company is providing, and they're trying to figure out how social factors affect health. How social factors have a bigger effect on health than medicine and medicinal procedures. And they don't know how this works, which is a joke in and of itself also. Because when you go to a doctor these days, they don't normally tell you need to change your diet. Look, you're unhealthy. You eat sugar and carbs, and you're going to be very sickly all the time, and you're going to be susceptible to whatever illnesses are going around because your immune system is weak, and you need to exercise, and you need to take care of yourself, and you need to get some sleep, and you need to not work so many hours. They're not going to tell you that. Or at least they don't anymore. More than likely, they're going to tell you that you need to get this or that type of medicine. Whether it's a prescription or whether it's a poke. You're going to need to wear certain implements on your face, maybe, to protect yourself and others. And they're going to tell you to come back. And that's that. The very environment of prescriptions and pokes in facial implements creates a social factor of fear and anxiety of something that makes no logical sense, but yet people are afraid of it, and then people become afraid of other people who aren't afraid of it, and it creates a whole conundrum of psychological issues that manifest themselves in anything from road rage to parking lot rage to people confronting one another in stores because you're not doing what I'm doing. Blah, blah, blah. And then it creates a division amongst people and creates more anxiety, which, again, i.e. social factors affecting health. So to bring it back down to a personal level, I find it interesting that this hospital chain reached out to me because they never email me. I've been to their place of business once. And I think that was over a year ago. And they emailed me once right after my visit, and that was it. Now I can draw some assumptions on this, some guesses. This is a podcast of opinion. So one possibility would be that someone from there watches my videos. And they do genuinely want to know what I think. That could be, but it could be just pure chance. However, I have another family member that goes to this hospital chain on a more regular basis than I do, and they got no such request to take a survey. So there's that. And then there's the other issue that happened with me on my Coral Blade Grotto website, YouTube channel, where my volition creating that channel was to create a channel geared towards those who don't know anything about correct sentence structure, communication, parsing, syntax, grammar, and to share some stories, some thoughts, and some opinions about whether it be current events, past events, ancient architecture, books, anything I find interesting, and take all of that and present it as seen through my lens of correct sentence structure, communication, parsing, syntax, grammar. In other words, in a very critical, factual, dry lens. No making claims that I can't certify or anything like that. Just presenting data, raw data, pretty much, which with a couple opinions put on top of it from research that I've done and cross-referencing that I've done, but basically putting it in the viewer's hands and showing them an example of what one individual might be like looking at things using the lens of quantum grammar. Void of assumption, presumption. So I created that channel also to try and test the bounds of YouTube, because my quantum grammar channel has never, ever had any problems with, you know, uploading videos or anything like that. YouTube has always been very helpful and never has ever tried to inhibit me in any way that I see. All I've seen is steady growth since I put the channel up in early 2018. Coral Blade Grotto, I wanted to put some more, like, more opinionated things out there, because I see people publishing opinions and getting strikes for it, getting their channel erased, and things like that. So I quickly found out the other day how this would happen to me. I put out a short 1 minute video where it wasn't even a visual thing. It was just me putting an audio track on there, basically saying about how ridiculous the mask thing is, how there's no logic behind it. And I go into detail on my thoughts. And the title of the video was Masks Up, Logic Down. Within 45 minutes, YouTube took the video down and sent me an email saying that I had violated their community guidelines, that I had presented misinformation in the video, but there were no strikes against my channel because I probably did it and I didn't know that I violated the guidelines. So there would be no damage done to my channel. And if I wanted to submit an appeal, I could. Well, I did submit an appeal. I simply said, thank you for reaching out. Please specify what specific misinformation is contained in the video. Tell me what it is, tell me how it's misinformation, and tell me what the correct information is. Because I want to know. Because it bewilders me, because to the best of my knowledge, everything I said in the video is logical and correct conclusions drawn upon these logical the logical data presented. Within 20 minutes, they had reinstated my video and sent me back an email saying that, you know, we've reversed our decision. We're sorry for the inconvenience. If you have any questions, get a hold of us. And that was that. Now, a little or a lot could be made out of that scenario I just presented with YouTube. You know, it could just be by some sort of weird chance, for some reason that I don't know about, that they decided to reverse their decision. But the thing is that struck me as interesting is that Coral Blade Grotto is a brand new channel. Although, if you look at the About section of it, I think my correct name is there. But on the face of the channel, when you click on it, there's really nothing there that hints that Colin Jason Knife and Matthew Colin Glass is the master of the channel or the steward of the channel. There's nothing on there that talks about correct sentence structure on the face of the channel. Like, if you just click on it and boom, there it is, there's nothing that gives you a clue about that. I don't think there are any quotation marks, no italics, no brackets. At the time, I had 64 subscribers. Now, I know that there are YouTube channels out there that say things that are much more divisive, controversial, whatever, than what I said in that 1 minute video. There are people out there calling for violent opposition. They're calling for all kinds of stuff. And those videos are still up there. And those people on those channels have hundreds of thousands of subscribers, sometimes millions. And their videos are still up there. My little 64 subscriber channel publishes a 1 minute video that's not even a video. It's just an audio over top of a stationary picture or text. And YouTube finds it within 45 minutes. And there's nothing even said about, no specific words said about anything that's going on except for the word masks. And there are so many videos on the internet with the word masks in them. So it was very puzzling that they zeroed in on me, on my video, right away. And this happened. I found it very interesting. Very odd, actually. So we'll see. We'll see how the channel goes. But I found out pretty quickly how fast I could get their attention. And the fact that they would pay attention to little old me over all these other celebrities who are speaking out about this stuff is mind-boggling to me. But again, you know, my first video that I put out there on the channel, I said my volition behind creating this channel was in a roundabout way, in a gentle way perhaps, to motivate the viewer to become interested in correct sentence structure, communication, parsing, syntax, grammar as a potent tool to put on their tool belt to navigate through these current scenarios of fear and authoritarianism, i.e. by going to my grammar channel, which has over 4,400 subscribers. And what you will find over there is a little over, I think, 200 videos containing the sum total of my knowledge of the technology known as correct sentence structure, communication, parsing, syntax, grammar. And if you're interested in that, please feel free to study the channel. I ask that you subscribe, hit those thumbs up buttons. I ask that you subscribe to this podcast, give it a thumbs up, a like, or whatever that means on this platform that you're listening to it on. Hit the notification bells. That stuff helps to get the material out there on a broader scale. And of course, if you want to fast track your learning, more than welcome to email me at jasonmatthewg17@gmail.com. And if you contact me at that venue, I will set up a 10 to 15 minute Zoom video consultation where you and I can discuss exactly what it is you want to do with this grammar and if a workshop is the correct thing to do for you to fast track your learning. And that's about it. Thanks for listening, and I hope to see you next time. And also, I hope everybody has a wonderful end of 2021. And if I don't talk to you before, I hope you have a wonderful start to 2022, which is actually a 6.